My Bartoli, I don't know how to write love letters, but I wanted to tell you that my whole being opened for you. Since I fell in love with you, everything is transformed and is full of beauty. Love is like an aroma, like a current, like rain. You know my sky, you rain on me, and I, like the earth, receive you.
This Wednesday, a New York auction house will put 25 love letters written by Mexican artist Frida Kahlo up for sale. That one you just heard there was from October in 1946. Now, those letters are addressed to Kahlo's lover, Jose Bartoli. He was a Spanish artist that she met while in New York having painful spinal surgery. Kahlo, of course, was married to artist Diego Rivera at the time. The letters are notable for their steaminess, but also for how completely vulnerable they reveal Kahlo to be. And they do say a lot about her work. So with me to explain is art historian Hayden Herrera. She's author of Frida, A Biography of Frida Kahlo. Her latest book, A Biography of Sculptor Isamu Noguchi, will be published later this month. Hayden, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So there is a lot of steaminess in these letters, without a doubt. We might get to that, but a lot of them, what's fascinating about them is how closely they correlate to a lot of her work. You can read renditions of her prose in these letters that are reflected in some of her paintings.
Yeah, yes, that is true, especially the painting that she did soon after the spinal fusion in New York. It's called Tree of Hope. It's a painting in which Frida appears twice. Once she's recumbent on a hospital trolley with great wounds in her back, the incisions from the surgery, and next to her is a strong Frida holding a flag that says, Tree of Hope, Keep Firm, which was her motto and also the first line of a song, a Mexican song, that both she and Bartoli loved.
Tree of Hope, however, was him. She referred to him as her Tree of Hope.
Yes, she did. In many of the letters, she says he is her Tree of Hope. And in a way, she keeps telling him that without him, she can't be strong, she can't paint, she won't be happy, she'll be lonely.
These letters have hand-drawn sketches by her. He responded with some as well. Some of them, as I said, do provide sort of conceptual frameworks for things that appeared in paintings later on that enthusiasts might really be interested in. Who was Jose Bartoli, however?
Bartoli was a Spanish refugee. He fought in the Spanish Civil War, and then he was imprisoned in several concentration camps. In one of them, he secretly drew all the horrible things that he saw, escaped, and went to Africa, and then finally landed in Mexico, where he lived apparently until 1946. And then after that, he mainly lived in New York City.
They met in New York, as I said, when she was here having surgery. And then for the next 3 or 4 years, what appears to have been a very tumultuous affair, but full of a lot of longing. They don't seem to have seen each other very much, even though there was a lot of infatuation.
Right. When Frida Kahlo was recovering from the spinal surgery, she returned to Mexico, and he seems to have appeared about in Mexico about 2 weeks later. So they were together for a while. Then he had to go back to New York. And then there's a period in 1947 where apparently he came to Mexico and didn't even see her. Then their love affair seems to have resumed in 1949, according to the letters. I was wondering whether his not visiting her when he came to Mexico in 1947 had something to do with what you see in these letters, which is her extreme neediness. She is constantly telling him that without him, she can't live, she can't paint, etc. So he may have felt a little bit under pressure. They're a little bit claustrophobic sometimes.
Today we call that a little bit freaked out, maybe.
A little freaked out, yes.
Well, I want to ask you about that very thing, because what was fascinating to me, of course, as I've said, is how some of the letters narrate, in a way, the concepts in paintings that you can see in books, in a museum, maybe in someone's collection. But what do they say about her inner world? You started to allude to it, not what she puts on the canvas necessarily, but what was going on in her life.
Well, she had a horrible accident when she was a teenager, and she almost died. And her life after that was full of pain and many, many operations, some 35 or something like that. Many of her paintings are about physical pain. A great number of them are about emotional pain. She was married to Diego Rivera, who was a well-known philanderer. So there are paintings in which her heart is broken by Rivera. There are others in which, for example, The Broken Column from 1944, where she shows herself naked from the waist up, split open with a broken, crumbling ionic column replacing her own spinal column, and also with nails piercing her flesh. She's sort of like a female Saint Sebastian.
It's extraordinarily intimate stuff, and I mean the letters. We should point out that it was Jose Bartoli's family that discovered the letters in a chest after his death. They're now putting these up for sale, right? Do you see it as a violation of her privacy or even his?
You know, I don't, because the one thing that Frida Kahlo wanted in life, I think, is to be known. Look at her painting. She painted herself being born with spread legs, with a baby coming out from between her legs. She painted herself having a miscarriage in Detroit. She didn't hold back. She was very, and also in life, she was extremely forthcoming, very direct. So I don't think she would have been upset to have these letters published.
Up to $125,000 is the estimate for more than two dozen love letters between Spanish artist Jose Bartoli and Mexican legendary artist Frida Kahlo. Hayden Herrera, author of Frida, A Biography of Frida Kahlo, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.